And now, Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. My wife is going to India in November. And so she does much preparation before she goes. And right now we're going through, 8 or 10 hours of videos, DVDs, on the history of India since God was a boy, it seems like, up until now. And so we're going through hours now. But as I'm looking at this history of India, what I'm struck with is there's one theme that plays out all the time, and it's the struggle for power. And the same is true if you read the headlines in the newspaper or watch CNN or whatever you watch, and it's always a struggle for power. What is power exactly? Well, it's defined as the ability to influence or control the lives of other people. And right now we're watching political power being struggled for in the political scene in the United States. And there's financial power, and then there's star power, whether it's movie stars or sports stars. And we call power by many different names, but it's always the same. As you look through history, it's always a struggle for power. Well, wasn't any different with the disciples, you see? Because in the scripture we just heard, it's a struggle for power. Over and over the three passion prophecies that we've reviewed for the past few weeks, Jesus is trying to explain his mission. And it's not terribly complicated. He came to give his life for us. And he said, I have to go to Jerusalem. I have to be arrested, tortured, die, rise again. But they didn't get it. Well, they didn't want to get it. Every time he said, this is what I need to do, it was either met by a rebuke or a request. You would think that if anyone understood what Jesus was about, it would be Peter and James and John, but you can't tell from this that they understood anything about it. He's told them more than once about the essence, about his job description, if you will. And it doesn't seem to register. They're focused on his power, you see. We hear James and John come to Jesus this morning with this presumptuous request, Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask. Now, I don't know how it was in your home, but when our kids came to us and said, we have something we want you to do for us, and just say yes before we ask, not going to happen. And I'm sure the red flag came up on Jesus as he heard this. And he said, well, what is it? And I said, grant to us, we want to sit one on your left hand, one on your right hand. Someone suggested last night that it was probably their mother that had them ask this question. To have them sit on the right hand, left hand of Jesus is the ultimate in power among these disciples. And when the other 10 heard it, they were absolutely livid. And I imagine Peter most of all. Well, we can't say much for Peter because he had a lust for greatness, because when Jesus said, I must go to Jerusalem and die, Peter said, no, you can't do that. You're supposed to set up a kingdom. And behind that statement is, what's going to happen to me if you die? I'm supposed to be on the board of the new kingdom. And then John comes to him and says, we heard this a couple of weeks ago or last week, look, there's this guy over here that's casting out demons and healing people in your name, and you need to do something about that. Well, again, it's this topic of power. John's saying he doesn't even have a license. We have the power to do that kind of thing, and he's not certified. He's probably not even been confirmed. Power. We want to protect our legacy, our power and position here on this earth. Jesus said it's not about that at all. It's about servanthood. And that was not good news. He said it's about sharing the cup of suffering. It's about being submerged in baptism. It's about leaving the prerogative for positioning to God. And that's not a popular thing. That's not popular then. It's not popular now. So Jesus rejects rank and power and established his servanthood as a standard. And sure enough, word leaked out to the other disciples. And it did not sit well with them, to say the least. And the thing there is, if it was so disruptive among those disciples, those close to Jesus, how much more disruptive it is to us, threatening to us, when we seek greatness through power or rank, especially in the church. Well, Jesus said, I'll tell you how strongly I believe in servanthood. I, the Son of Man, has come to serve, not to be served. I've come to give my life as a ransom for many. Greatness is not to be sought. If it comes, it comes through giving. Now we're into stewardship. We're into reminding ourselves about the gifts that God has given us and our response to that. Jesus teaches us that we should be more willing to give far more than we expect to get. It's not about getting. Someone told me once, I didn't get anything out of the worship service. I said, you're not supposed to. You're supposed to give. You come to worship and give thanks to God and give appreciation for what God has done for you. And to praise God. That's why we're here. Jesus said it's more blessed to give of your time, your talent, your money than you expect to receive from others. It's the gift of a loving heart. A monk found a precious stone one day, and he put it in a little bag that he had. And as he walked along, he came upon a traveler, and he opened his bag to share with the traveler. And the traveler saw the stone and said, oh, that's beautiful. I would like to have that stone. And the monk reached into the bag and gladly gave him the stone. The traveler went on his way, and the monk went the other way. A couple of days later, as the traveler was walking along, he thought, I need to go find that monk. And so he did, and he found him, and he gave the stone back to the monk, and he said, would you give me something more valuable than the stone, precious as it is? I want you to give me that which enabled you to gladly give me the stone. You see, the traveler was right. The ability to give is more valuable than the ability to retain. Well, we don't understand what Jesus is talking about most of the time. when he talks about serving and giving, I get little inkling, little snatches of it occasionally, but it doesn't stay with me. And then I just keep trying to get little snatches of what he was talking about. And the disciples were no different. But this much is certain, whether we make sense of it or not, serving is how we will transform our lives and transform the world around us. Not from the top down. We hear a lot about the trickle-down effect, but it's about the trickle-up effect that Jesus taught. It comes from within us and up, the ultimate trickle-up effect. And God has given you and I the power to serve, the power to give, the power to turn the statement of the brothers of sons of Zebedee into a statement for our own lives, which says, "Teacher, we want to do for you whatever you ask of us." Amen.